The talk you're about to listen to is a presentation of Penn State Crew. To find out more about Penn State Crew, or to find more talks, music, and videos, check out PennStateCrew.org.
Joe Bollinger, I'm excited. I'm excited to be here. I graduated from Penn State in 2001. That's right. And I want to tell you guys something first, before I even say anything else, is when I was at Penn State, I was not a believer. I did not follow Jesus at all. I avoided Christian gatherings like this, like the plague. I would see people gathering, I'd be on the other side of campus. So I have a story to tell you about how God grabbed a hold of my life and just turned me around, and I'm on staff with Campus Crusade for Christ today. I want to tell you about that. I have a couple videos I want to show you a little bit later to show you some of the things I've got to experience as I've been in my journey with God and coming to know Jesus. And also, I have a really exciting video about what God's doing in the country of Guinea-Bissau, just to show you the importance of missions and just to get you excited about what God's doing in other parts of the world. I guess I want to say that, like I said, I wasn't a believer when I was in college, and there's a lot of reasons for that. I was bitter from my upbringing. I was raised in a Christian home, and it was a really kind of small town in South Central Pennsylvania, and I just didn't fit the mold. I was a thinker. I had questions. I wasn't satisfied with just simple little answers, and that's really all that I was getting. And I came to believe, tragically, that Christians were stupid people that didn't have any answers for the hard questions of life, and that faith was a cop-out for people that didn't know how to get through hard times. And that's what I believed. And when I got to college, I was like, this is my time to kind of get out of all that and meet intelligent people and ask all the hard questions and find answers. And what's interesting is I was an atheist in the beginning, and I kind of turned just towards spiritual things. I was open to spiritual things, and I ran into a campus minister with a different organization, but God bless that man. He would meet with me every week for coffee and absorb all of my wrath. I would just pour out like all of my disgust, and he would listen and just kind of take interest. Eventually, he did get me to come to his weekly meeting once, and it was interesting. I was kind of uncomfortable. People were singing to God, and that just seemed strange to me, and everyone was singing the same thing, and I just didn't click with me until the year after I graduated, when I went on a mission trip, and I wasn't a believer. But a Christian friend of mine said that it was a mission trip in southern Spain where they were giving out this documentary about the life of Jesus and the New Testament to North African Muslims who were coming up through southern Europe to work and to do vacation. And we were at the ports handing out this information and sharing about the message of Christ. And my friend said, Joe, if you're really an intellectual, then you should do a comparative study. You owe it to yourself. You should go to this project, you should ask the Christians what they believe, you should understand their message, and you should ask the Muslims what they believe and understand their message. And so I went. I went on this two-week-long mission trip. I wasn't a believer. I actually walked out on the training on how to share your faith because I was offended by that. And my friend came to my rescue and said, oh, you know, he just doesn't understand the idea behind this. You know, just give him some time. And I went, and as a result of that trip, long story short, I just really found the message of Christ, the message of the Bible, the message behind the faith to be really different than what I thought it was, and especially compared to the faith of Islam that I was seeing face-to-face in that context. The Muslim faith seemed to be a lot of what I was raised on, in that it was do good, be good, hope that God accepts you in the end, but you're not really sure, but you just kind of hope so. And then this Christian message was, there is a God up there with open arms just wanting to embrace you. And just as you are, you're full of sin and failures, and when you read his word, you realize we don't measure up, but for that he's given us Jesus, and Jesus is his gesture of forgiveness and his gesture of grace. And so just come, he's there, he wants to love on you and wants to know you personally, and he'll walk with you through life changes. And that his spirit would live inside of me, that was something that was attractive. And if I was going to change, it was going to be because he was inside of me working out those changes, not because I was trying to be something that I wasn't, which is, you know, just being a hypocrite. And I got back from that trip, and I was like, huh, the Christian message is really interesting. I want to experience that. I wonder how you can apply that. And I hooked up with some other people that were in a similar place in life, and they were all about applying the message of Jesus, a message of change of heart and forgiving others and forgiving yourself and realizing that God forgives you, and then inviting God to come in and teach us what his way is and what he wants to do in us. And so through that experience, I experienced significant and drastic life change over the course of several months. And during that time, I was realizing that I graduated from school and I was working in the industry where that my degree was in. And I was thinking, like, man, my view of life is changing, my values are changing. And I remember coming home from work one day, and I just laid down on my bed, and I shouted out to God. I was like, God, what is your purpose for my life? What are you doing with me? What do you want of me? And he led me to Isaiah 42. Now, I know most of us don't hear God speaking, and I didn't. But as soon as I asked that question, I in my mind, I thought, Isaiah 42. I didn't even know where in my Bible the book of Isaiah was. And I didn't know if there were 42 chapters in the book of Isaiah. But I opened it up, and I was like, this is ridiculous. What am I going to find in here? And it was a passage talking about Jesus, like a prophecy about Jesus. But in it was some details that stuck out to me because they were purposeful. Like, he will take my message to the nations. The islands will wait for the message that he'll bring. And for some reason, that just resonated with me, that was God's purpose for my life, to take his message to the nations. And I continued to ask him about that, and over the next couple months, he led me to another verse, Psalms 37, verse 4, which says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. And it was like God was challenging me to tell him what I wanted, and that he would fulfill his purpose for me by fulfilling those desires. And so I wrote out this list of a perfect job. And it was a job that required me to travel the world. It was a job that was full of adventure. I had been in my current job for two years, and I had kind of figured out the system, and I was like, God, I want something that, you know, always requires me to change. You know, it's dynamic, and it just, what was the word I used? I could commit to being uncommitted. And, you know, I want to live in villages but be based in the U.S. And I want it to be exhausting, but at the end of the day, I want to know that I spent my life on a worthy cause, you know, the cause that was for him, for God. And in comes mission trip number two, which was another mission trip. The first one, by the way, was with Campus Crusade for Christ, with a film called The Jesus Film. The second one was again with this Jesus film, this video documentary of the life and teachings of Christ, and it was to Kenya in East Africa. And on that trip, I met a guy, And as I was getting to know him, he was describing his job to me. And he's like, "You'll never believe my job. You know, I travel the world. It's full of adventure. I'm traveling into these remote villages, but I live in Orlando, so I'm back and forth in the U.S. And, you know, it's really exhausting, but I know at the end of the day, I've spent my life on a worthy cause." And I'm like, you know, my jaw is just hanging down to the floor. I was like, "What are you talking about? That can't be real." And it turns out that it was his job as a missionary with Campus Crusade for Christ, with this film, this Jesus film, and that they were really desperate for people to come and apply so they could filter out applicants that would be able to do it. And I was like, "Well, this is a dream job. I mean, you've got to have hundreds of people just waiting to do this." And he's like, "Actually, we don't. We can't find people. So if you're interested, you should apply." And I did, and that's how I ended up getting into missions. Two mission trips later, one as a skeptic, one as a believer. Now I'm a missionary, so go figure. I mean, my full-time occupation is to tell people about the message of Christ. And so I want to show you a film, just a short little thing about some of the things that I've gotten to eat as I've traveled around the world. I've been to East Asia and Southeast Asia and Papua New Guinea and all over Africa, and I just want to give you a little taste of how my world changed and how my palate changed during that time. Apart from God developing a really adaptable palate in my mouth, he did two other really, really significant things in the past 5 years that I've been traveling around a lot. He gave me an incredible love for Africa. I went there on my first trip with the Jesus film to record these languages, and it was like something just overtook me. At the time, I didn't know what it was, but I just loved the people. Like, I found myself, I just wanted to do anything for them. I wanted to wash their clothes for them. I wanted to help them around their houses. I wanted to, just anything I could do to help them. I felt this great sense of wanting to serve them. And it was driven by this love that I had, which later I realized after talking with a bunch of people that that's God's love for them. And God had given me his love for those people. And the other thing that God did in my heart was give me a desire to help other people who are on a spiritual journey connect with him. And last year, God just was really burdening me that my experience with him needed to start getting bigger than just he and I. He wanted it to be he and I plus whoever else I could share him with. And it's interesting because now as I'm in kind of a new season and in walking with him, and the season has me getting ready to move, as God would have it, to West Africa. I have a picture there of the country of Guinea-Bissau where I'll be moving to. It's not that one. But Guinea-Bissau is a little country in West Africa, and I'm going to be going over with a team who I'm still recruiting. I don't have a team. If you're interested, we can talk more about it. But we'll be going to this country where we don't have any ministry going on, and the primary focus is going to be to disciple new believers, to help them in their walk of faith with Christ, and helping them know how to live out their faith and help others to do the same. So we'll be teaching people how to share their faith, grow in their faith, and help other people do the same. And it's interesting, just the theme of my walk with God has been missions. I was searching for him, even on a mission trip. Then I found my perfect job on a mission trip. In the past 5 years, I've been doing tons and tons of mission trips. And all of that has just deepened my relationship with him and my knowledge of him, and just being able to see God in the world through a whole another set of eyes again and again and again, like each culture that I've been in and each experience that I've had, and every bite of food that I ate made me more and more desperate for him. And anyway, I just want to challenge you. I know that the crew here at Penn State has a partnership with Kazakhstan and in North Africa to pray about that and see if maybe your first step or another step or maybe the next of a series of steps with God could be to go to places that you're not familiar with and interacting with the message of the gospel with other people from different cultures. One of the interesting things and humbling things for me has been that in the past 5 years, I've dubbed onto this film over 30 or 40 languages onto this film about the life of Jesus. And those represent over 70 million people that before that time had never had a chance to hear about who Jesus is. And all the while, I was on my own journey. And so I'm coming to know God. Millions of other people are coming to know him. And I just think that's the beauty of missions. And you don't have to be this superstar Christian to go on a mission trip. You can start with him. Okay, Guinea-Bissau, on the west coast of Africa. Tiny little country, one of Africa's poorest, one of Africa's smallest. They grow cashew nuts. They're primarily ancestor worship is their primary religion, followed by Islam. And they are so hungry for God. And I want to close on this other video. It was taken just last year. And we don't have anyone living in Guinea-Bissau for the ministry, but we do have a guy that's been going back and forth training. And this guy is training people how to share their faith. And they're using a little picture booklet because most of the people can't read or write. And so these are people that have been trained to share their faith, practicing with each other. And they're going to get ready, and they're going to go out and share just in the streets, in the villages. Of course, you don't go anywhere without praying first. That's what they're doing. And they're praising God, just getting ready for what he wants to do. I think there's probably about 20 people in there, 20 or 30, that have been trained. And they go out in groups of two and three, and they're just sharing with people in the streets. This is a village off this beaten path. And just going up to the houses in the village, the people there sharing with them. And remember, these people have never heard anything about Jesus. And this is their first time. So those that have received Christ, the very next day they're getting baptized as a public display of the decision they've made, of a changed heart, a changed life. While they're getting baptized down by the river, those guys you just saw were walking over the bridge and yelled down, "What are you doing washing these people?" And so they came up and told them, and they told them about God and his love and his forgiveness through Jesus, and they're all lifting their hands in surrender to God, giving their lives over to him. And what do you do when you have new believers who have just given their life to Christ and you're by a river? You baptize them. So 30 minutes later, they're getting baptized in the river. There they are, the same people. And they're teaching them about what it means, the significance of a changed heart, and the symbolism of being like put under the water and putting your old life behind you and being raised to new life in Christ. One of the men who got baptized here was an elder, an elder, an older man in his community. And he begged these guys, he's like, "You have to come and tell my community about this message you've just told us about." So the very next day they go, and walking into the village, got the little megaphone there, not sure what they're going to find. They find all these people, like 100 people, from the community all gathered under these trees, waiting, just waiting to hear about God's love for them through Christ. And it's just basic speaking of the word. He's got the megaphone. He's just telling them the basic message of the Bible. You know, God loves you. God wants a relationship with you. Let's take care of that sin problem through Jesus. He forgives you. Come as you are, you know, receive his love for you. Let him come in and change you from the inside out. And so all the adults are surrendering their life to God right there on the spot. We're connecting people with the living God. They can worship him. And at the end here, they're teaching them their very first worship song in their own language. So I want you to be encouraged. Know that there are lots of places in the world where people have never heard anything about the living God and how to have a relationship with him. And if you're sitting here tonight and you're thinking, wow, I would love to be a part of that, I would love to challenge you to talk with any of the team here, the crew team, and get connected with the partnership to Kazakhstan, get connected with the partnership to North Africa. I'm looking for a team of people that want to come for a year to Guinea-Bissau to do some training of these new believers. You're welcome to come and talk to me. I'll be out at the table out back. I'd love to get your email address and keep in touch as things develop. And I just feel like, if nothing else, I want you to see that no matter where you are in your spiritual journey, your walk with God, that God can grab a hold of your heart and just change your life and use you to impact the world. I mean, that's what he did with me. I hated Christians, and I was so resistant to the message of Christ. And eventually he worked on me. If you have friends out there that you're talking to and you're just like, wow, this person is beyond hope, just keep praying for them. Just be faithful. Let your life be an example. Keep your joy. Keep your faith. And you never know what God will do. So, you guys, it's been awesome talking to you. Have a great night.
The talk you have just listened to is a presentation of Penn State Crew. Crew is a community where the gospel captures hearts, transforms lives, and launches men and women into a lifelong adventure with Jesus Christ. To find out more about Penn State Crew, or to find more talks, music, and videos, check out PennStateCrew.org. That's PennStateCRU.org. This talk is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivative Works 3.0 United States license. You are free to copy and distribute this talk to others as long as you do not do it for commercial purposes or alter, transform, or build upon this talk in any way.